Good morning and welcome to today's EMP. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 16. And continuing with prayer alongside last week's reading of Paul and Silas. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have together to open up your word and have your word speak to our lives. Holy Spirit, speak to the areas where you are working in us, to work through us. And so, Father, we surrender this time to you as you take us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I was reading this quote by C.S. Lewis that says that we must stop regarding unpleasant or unexpected things as interruptions of real life. The truth is that interruptions are real life. And so made me rethink about the title of this part two of part three reading that I've been going through in terms of interrupted moments or unplanned moments in our lives through the life of Paul. And so I want to read from Acts chapter 16. And this is in connection with last week's reading of Paul and Silas being plans being changed and having an encounter with Lydia. And so starting with verse 16, I'll read it first, and then we'll go break it down together and then reflect on what this passage might mean for our lives. And so this is after the conversion of Lydia, and it says, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, and when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in attacking them, and magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." So once again, we see a continuation of just the life of Paul and Silas and Luke here, that it says they were on their way to where? To prayer again. Same thing as happened last time as they encountered Lydia, is that they were on their way to prayer. And so on their way to prayer, they encounter what is described here as a slave girl who had a spirit of prediction or divination. So essentially she would just make large profits for her owners through fortune telling. And so this spirit gave her information so that she could tell people secrets about their lives. You could say it's almost a corrupt way or a corrupt usage of what we would, within the body of Christ, call the word of knowledge or even the word of wisdom, or what we would call prophetic words, that we receive insights from God for people's lives. But here this slave girl had this gift that was used in a very corrupt way, and it was used for fortune-telling, and it was used as a way for profit. And it kind of reminds me of I think it's, if you go to Jordan, it could be Jordan, I think it's Jordan, where they have that whole block where if you walk through it, there's people that, it's kind of like a block of fortune-telling. I don't know if any of you guys know that place. So I'm trying to imagine of what this scene could have looked like for Paul here and Silas, that as they're walking through the streets, they're on their way to prayer. It says that she would follow Paul and Silas, and she would just cry out, and she made proclamations about them. It says that she would just cry out and say, "These men are servants of the Most High who proclaim to you the way of salvation." So she made these proclamations about them, and she was actually, you would say, she was actually proclaiming the truth. That she would, these are men from the Most High, they are servants of God, and they are proclaiming salvation. So what she's essentially proclaiming is not, I wouldn't say is a lie. But there was something behind this spirit of which she was saying these things, that there was a false spirit behind those proclamations. And so verse 18, it says that she did this for many days. And then we see a little bit of, you could say, Paul's personality here, or where it says Paul was greatly annoyed. Other versions say that he was greatly aggravated. Okay, so you see here that Paul is greatly annoyed, and you could imagine, and he just turns to the Spirit, and demonstrating his spiritual authority, he commands the Spirit out of the girl. And this is really in line with Jesus' empowering, who gives us spiritual authority in our lives and through his name. And so Paul operates in that spiritual authority. It says Paul was annoyed, okay? And I think most of us would probably be annoyed like Paul. So why would Paul be annoyed? He could sense that even though this girl is proclaiming the truth, that there's maybe a sense of mocking. Like, I've done that. I don't know if any of you have ever done street evangelism, and people just start saying random stuff. Stuff was like, "Oh, here are the truth tellers. They're here to tell us the truth." It's like they are proclaiming the truth when we are saying that, but the spirit behind in which they're saying that could have a sense of mockery. Though she proclaimed the truth about them, there is a different spirit from her. And so maybe perhaps Paul, this girl's following them around, and as Paul and Silas are walking around, this girl's walking beside them. Maybe Paul didn't want them to think, "We're not together, actually. she's doing her own thing." But for whatever the reason is, it says that Paul was greatly annoyed. And I like this because we sometimes lift up Paul to a level as almost to the same level of Jesus, that he didn't have a human side to him. That Paul here in this moment is not, "Oh, this girl, she's captive. You know, God came to set the captives free." He responds really in what is, that probably offers reflection, is it says he responds out of really just annoyance more than anything. And so he responds in a sense of annoyance, and he casts out the spirit that is within that girl. And I think that's relatable to us in our lives, because like what most of us feel like when someone keeps interrupting us or making life more difficult for us, we get annoyed. We get aggravated in those moments. And so her owners respond here, and it says that their hope of profit was gone. Why? Because they were using this slave girl as a fortune teller to make them profit. And what does it say? It says they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. So they take Paul and Silas, they just drag them to the authorities. And then verses 20 through 24, just to summarize it here, is that it says they lifted up complaints against these men. And these men, they said, "These men are disturbing the city." And so they give legal accusations against Paul and Silas, saying that these men are turning us against customs, and we as Romans here, they're breaking the law. Which is quite funny, because before this moment, they really didn't have a problem with Paul and Silas. They really didn't have a problem that they were who these men were. But it wasn't until their hope of profit was gone that it became an issue for them. And in this process, it says the mob or the crowd joined with them as well. And it says the chief magistrate then stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods and afflicted them with many blows. And so they threw them in jail and put their feet in the stocks. Okay? So here's this moment. They're on their way to prayer. I'm sure they didn't imagine that by the end of that day, they would be beaten up, stripped from their clothes, and ending up in prison. And so just to reflect on this scripture is that we see the common practice of prayer in the lives of Paul and Silas, that there's this common practice of them being on their way to prayer and how interruptions have occurred around them on their way to prayer. In the first occasion from last week where we read that this interrupted moment in their lives with Lydia led to the Lord opening up her heart to receive the gospel, and she welcomes them to her home in an act of hospitality. I think most of us would like those kind of interruptions in our lives. But then we have this second occasion here that there's another interrupted moment, but this time at least in the opposite direction. Instead of them being receiving hospitality, they instead encounter what? Hostility. And so we have two different encounters where their days are interrupted. One leads to someone coming to know Christ and them receiving hospitality. And then we have in this next story, we have their day being interrupted, and instead it ends in hostility. And so these two moments alongside each other are important because we don't know how people will respond. That's really one of the things in our lives, is that we don't know how people will respond. Some people will welcome the kingdom of God in their lives like Lydia did. Some people will reject the kingdom of God in their lives to the point of hostility, and in extreme cases, to the point of violence in their lives. And this idea that the kingdom of God is something all people will embrace is misleading. Some people will be furious and see it as a disturbance in their lives. So if I encourage you to go to allow God to be interrupted and say that you're all going to have Lydia moments at the end of those interruptions, it would actually be misleading, because we see something differently happening here in this interruption. That if you go and you're like, I'm going to share the gospel at work or at home with family and friends, and they're going to welcome it because the gospel is amazing. No, some people might get frustrated at you. Especially if you do it in a workplace, they might say, hey, you shouldn't share the gospel. That's personal. You need to leave that at home. Okay, some people might be genuinely disturbed by you sharing the gospel, and they might consider it an actual disturbance in their lives. And so the truth is that the kingdom of God disturbs our lives. And our attitude towards those moments will determine how we respond in those moments. And so really, when I'm looking at this story, you could place yourself in this story in terms of the characters that are here. Is maybe some of us are like Paul and Silas, that we're on our way to prayer and we are having these interrupted moments in our lives. And sometimes God calls us to respond to those interrupted moments in our lives. But we don't know what is at the end of those interrupted moments in our lives. We hope that we get the Lydia moments in our lives where they welcome it and they welcome us with hospitality. But sometimes the reality is that at the end of those interruptions, sometimes there is no hospitality in the receiving of the kingdom of God. That sometimes at the end of that is hostility, and people saying that we're disturbing their lives, or maybe we're the owners, the business owners here, that the kingdom of God is disturbing our lives. And it's costing us. And I think that's true in so many ways in our lives, that when we gave our life to Christ, I would say God disturbed our lives. Maybe disturbance is not the right word. It's not the way we would see it. Maybe has a negativeness to it. But I would say that before I came to Christ, I would say God interrupted my life in the way I had planned it and wanted it to go and completely changed it. You know, when I was 17, my hope was actually to become a professional soccer player where I had scholarships to play football. And so that was my goal. And then I encountered God, and that interruption completely changed my life. That the hope that I had and the plans that I had were completely gone in that moment. That was a disturbance of God's kingdom coming to earth and disturbing my life and completely changing it. And so there are moments in our life where the kingdom of God comes and disturbs our lives, but it's how we respond to those moments in our lives as well. That we can welcome them like Lydia with hospitality. Or when those moments of the kingdom of God interrupting our lives comes, we could respond to them in hostility. And that can come in so many different ways. I always, when I think about God working in my life, I really see it in two ways. What he is working in me and what he is working through me. And sometimes he causes disturbance in my life that have to do with his working in me. What does that mean? That sometimes when God is working things in my life in terms of character, in terms of whatever it may be, that he interrupts and he confronts me with it, and it disturbs me. Because then I get it's kind of like a mirror pops up, and I get an actual view of myself, and I'm like, oh. And I could come up with a defense mode of every single little thing of these things that are coming my way, and I could or I could be like, God, thank you for revealing that in my life. Like Lydia, I could respond it with hospitality and say, God, thank you for revealing this. I hadn't seen it, or maybe I had seen it, but thank you, God, for speaking this into my life and revealing it to me so I could respond to it. Or I could respond in hostility and say, and once God reveals what he is revealing in terms of the work he's doing in me, saying, no, God, we would never say this in response to God, but within ourselves, we might respond and reject what he is trying to do in our lives. We might be like, you know, that, yeah, God, that may be true. I don't know, but it was really that person's fault. Kind of like Paul is like, it was that slave girl's fault. She's the one that got me annoyed and aggravated. Like it's really them. It's not me. Or again, that's the hostility that when God is working through us, we can either welcome it with hospitality or hostility in our lives. And so the two questions for me for reflection this morning as we go into a time of worship here is, will I welcome God's disturbance in my life like Lydia? Or will I respond in hostility towards God's disturbance like the business owners? And like the business owners, the reason they were afraid is because their hope of profit was gone. The reason why we respond in hostility sometimes is because we've placed our hope in something, and suddenly that whatever we've placed our hope in is being shaken. And we're trying everything within our power to protect that in our lives. But God then is trying to do something different in our lives. And so really my prayer for my life and for our lives is that we will welcome God's disturbance in our lives. Secondly, that we would be courageous in moments where our faithfulness to the gospel and the kingdom of God causes a disturbance. And that we would lift and surrender the response of people to God and walk courageously through whatever may come our way. We don't know how people will respond. We don't know. For us, it's just to be faithful in responding to the interruptions of our lives. And yeah, I pray for more moments like Lydia in my life. Because I don't want to experience the second interruption that Paul and Silas says. That says that they were dragged. So you gotta picture that. It's not like, hey guys, come with us. And okay, we'll follow you. It says they were dragged. So most likely they just pulled them there, and it says the crowd gathered them. So they pulled them, they were dragging them, and it says they stripped them from their clothes. I don't know to what extent, if they stripped them completely to nakedness or to just undergarments, but it says they stripped them to their clothes. And then it says that they beat them with rods and then threw them in prison in stocks. Essentially, stocks are not chains. Essentially, stocks are kind of like things that you kind of just get thrown in and you're just stuck in a position. And so it says they were thrown in stocks. I'd be annoyed and aggravated at that moment. I was like, God, I responded to your interruption, and this is where your interruption ended. This is where your interruption led me. But next week we'll look at another moment of prayer, of how Paul and Silas respond to that moment. But for today, let's just reflect on those three points of just, will I welcome God's disturbance in my life like Lydia? Or will I respond in hostility towards God's disturbance like the business owners? And that we would just surrender the response of people and walk courageously how God has called us to be. So Father, as we go into this time of worship, Holy Spirit, just invite you to speak to us in our lives wherever we may be, and just welcome your disturbance in our lives. If there is something you are trying to work in our lives, disturb it. We welcome that. If there's something you're trying to work through our lives, disturb that as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to save that thou art, thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or
as I was thinking about this passage, I forgot the other person that we could probably fall in category with is the slave girl. Is that sometimes we may be proclaiming the truth, but we have the wrong spirit in our lives. And that needs confronting as well. And so, Father, I just pray that maybe there are those moments where, hey, we're proclaiming the truth, but we're just coming from a bad spirit in our lives. And we need freedom from that. And so, Father, I pray that perhaps like Paul and Silas, we're going to have those interrupted moments. And there's going to be Lydia's along the way, but there are also going to be tough moments along the way as well. And so, Father, I just pray that in the only way you can, through the work of your Holy Spirit, with kindness and gentleness and love, that you, like a heart surgeon, you bring about those disturbances and work out the things in our heart, in our lives, that you could only do with such a spirit of gentleness for us to receive and to respond to. And so, Father, we just pray, we surrender the response of the people around us in our lives, that whatever may be, whatever may come, that we just continue to be faithful to you and not walk blindly as well, thinking that just because we have the truth that we can just say it in whatever spirit that we want. And so, Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together as we go into our community prayers. Let's pray for those that are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. For those that have illnesses and are in need of salvation. Let's pray for those that have COVID and for our frontline medical workers. For those that are searching for jobs in this season, for new opportunities. Mission focus today for Japan, the U.S., and India. Missions Council. Ministry. That are happening tonight. Yeah, Father, we lift up our prayers to you this morning. We lift up our lives to you, that you would lead us and guide us as we go throughout our day, that you would protect us and watch over us and guide our every steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. See you next week.